the General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 289 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of July 27th, 2021. This week, some virgins go into the orbit, the handheld market gets steamy, and we take a trip to Uncle Touchy's Blizzard Dungeon. I'm TJ, and I've got with me CJ. That's gross.
Yeah.
And Dom's taking sabbatical right now. He's taking some time off.
There we go.
Because CJ got some time off.
Well,
got a parent.
I take 3 months off. You guys think you can just like take time off whenever
just
you
leave.
Want? I see.
CJ shit out of kids, so he had to take some time off. And now Dom's taking some vacation time. So
my butt still hurts.
For not being here for the last 2 weeks. I was busy dying.
He was.
I was busy dying.
No longer dying.
I'm no longer dying. I can talk without coughing.
We think.
And sit up without passing out. Which is nice. It's like that thing when you poop and you pass out. Does that happen to everyone else? Or is it just me?
That came up recently, and I don't know why. I think I met somebody who actually had that.
Episode.
No, I know, but like that's why I freaked out because I was like that thing in Scrubs. Anyway.
So we'll start off with what are you playing? CJ, what you got?
Sure. So I've finally unwrapped my copy of Betrayal Legacy after convincing my wife and some friends to start playing this game. And my wife, because we were playing through Pandemic Legacy for like a second time. We had like an extra copy, just want to, and it's just like, we all got tired of it. It's just, you get so tired of Pandemic, especially Pandemic Legacy, where it's like everything about the game is just ridiculously stressful. And every time you play it, you play a new chapter, it's just like more stress.
More
like,
stress.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, hey, we're going to make everything much harder, much more stressful. And we're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So
we're not going to change really anything that's going on.
Exactly. So everyone was kind of.
So what's the difference between Betrayal Legacy and standard Betrayal?
So that's why everyone was worried, a little apprehensive to like start it, because it was like, well, I don't want to deal with that stress again. But so the basic premise of it is you're playing through, I want to say 13 generations. So the house starts in the year in the 1600s. And it's basically every 30 years is like a new generation of people. So either your characters from the last time you played survived and they're just like 30 something years older, or you can choose to completely mix it up. Or if they died, you can choose a new member of their family. So in the beginning of the game,
that's really cool.
It is.
And we're talking about Betrayal on House on the Hill.
Yeah, Betrayal House on the Hill.
This is the legacy version.
Exactly. From Avalon
Hill.
Which
I highly recommend if you've never played it, which seems crazy, but nowadays, but
exactly.
If you've never played it, go play it because it's fucking awesome.
It was definitely one of those games that like got a lot of people into tabletop gaming past like playing like Monopoly and Life. At least for me, it was. That was back when Avalon Hill owned the game. I was able to purchase it. And it
that
went out of print.
That was probably one of the first ones I played outside of like Monopoly and stuff like that was Betrayal.
So
and then I was like, oh, cool. There's other board games besides these shitty ones.
And it's a game that we've owned since 2006, 2007, I think is when I bought my copy.
It was like right after college.
Yeah.
Or right after high school.
Exactly. And like, you know, we still play it. You know, that's the game is probably almost 20 years old at this point, or getting close to 20 years old, and like we can still play it easily, the replayability, which it doesn't seem like it could be. But anyway, Betrayal Legacy is very similar, except for the fact that you're playing it very specifically over generations. Everybody gets to choose a family, so you get to make up like a last name. And like I said, each generation you can make up a new person, or you just play the same person who's 30 years older, unless
now,
they die.
Is it still you still pick from the characters that they gave out in the first game, or is it just like you make a new make a character?
The minis are the same, so they basically give you they're very similar looking miniatures. Like there's I think the old man, there's that the Flash dude,
yep, Flash Thompson.
Flash, whatever his name. Yeah. There's two.
Two I played.
I think there's an adult woman, a teenage woman, and then there's two children, a little girl and a little boy. I think those are the six characters to choose from. But what's cool about this is because they don't necessarily want you playing with the same people over and over, or same, like, they don't want you playing as the same character over and over again. You can pull off the color, the base, and put on a different, like, color, like the color for your family. So I'm playing as green. I can pick whoever I want and put them on my, like, circle, like pop onto a little circle, greens.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, like, we mix it up a lot. We're like, I always played as Professor Longfellow, the old man in the betrayal game. I started with
the two kids in the creepy house, you know,
and the madman and the dog.
Yep.
I can mix it up now and I can play whoever I want. And I can, like, we all do that a lot. Like, we'll swap around who we're playing as and, like, make up characters, be like, I want to play as, like, the little girl this time. And, like, I'll just make up a name for the little girl and, like, a story. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like a cousin, like a distant cousin of the original person who died in the house in the first haunt. But it is,
you'd think after like a few generations, they'd be like, yeah, we're just going to stop sending our people into this fucking house.
Nah, I mean, you got to think about, like, the Star Wars universe. There's like, I think only 20 or 30 years between the end of the Clone Wars and the, like, death of the Jedi, and everyone forgot about the Jedi. So
that's true.
That's a really random analogy, but it's an analogy. So, like I said, we're all really apprehensive to start playing this legacy game. And I think we've already blown through five or six in like two nights. Like, we just kept playing because it's so good. It really is. It's like everything about, like, you just keep pulling stuff out of the game and it adds such new and interesting stuff onto the board that it doesn't feel like you're destroying anything. Like with like Pandemic Legacy, it felt too much like I was constantly like ruining the board or destroying something. Or like if a person dies, you have to like rip up their card. You can never see them again. That doesn't really come into play here. A lot of the stuff that you're putting down on the board is like the first time you get an item. This is, I love this. The first time you get an item, a lot of the items have like a little blank so you can name the item. Like you can have like Tom's crossbow or cool something. Name. So you get to name like whose it is. And then some of them even have like a little family crest. So everyone gets a certain amount of stickers. That's their family crest. And the first time you get the item when you're playing, you can choose it. This is my family item. This is my like heirloom. So you get bonuses later on when you keep replaying the game, which might give you like
passed down item.
Exactly.
Through generations.
Yeah. And the first item you get in that session, you get to choose that for, which is really, really cool.
That's dope.
I don't want to spoil anything about this game because it's just too good. But the first session, the story, just like it sucks you in. And it's such a good introduction to this, like to the board game. Like it was one of those things where we're just like, okay, this is just betrayal. And then we finish the session. We're like, no, this is different. Like it's just,
do you still pick like the haunts out of a book or do they give you like,
not yet
specific?
Not yet. So there is a haunt book that you can choose from, but it's more for, I think, later on when you're playing the game after you finished it. Cause it's kind of like the same thing where it's like, all right, now you finish this board, you can play it as a normal game of betrayal with like 50 new haunts. But like these first few sessions we've been playing, there's been, because you don't start with all of the omen cards. So for you who don't know, the way you the game works is like there's three different types of cards, like events and items, but there's also omen cards. Omen cards are what like start the haunt, which is what turns it into a cooperative game, into a usually one versus everyone else game where one person becomes a traitor. So you start with no omen cards at all. And then it's like when you get to a certain point, it's like, OK, flip over the next card in like the deck that's in the box and it's an omen card. And they're like, OK, go to the story. So the first couple of stories were kind of like that, where you're building up that deck of omen cards. Yeah. So like that's a little like railroady, but I actually don't mind that. But it's also
trying to tell a complete story.
It is, which is really
just
cool.
Rando stories put together.
There is definitely a very specific story in there, but like you are a part of it. Like, you and your characters are a part of it in a really cool way. And you get to, like, kind of note that down on the back of your character sheets, like how your character survived or how they died, if, you know, you were the traitor or whatever. And there's a deed to the house. So there's a card that's like a deed to the house. And for each session you play, you get to put your family crest on that if you are the person to survive the haunts. I don't know what happens if you are in a group of people who survive yet, who gets the deed, because that hasn't happened yet. So far, the traitor has always won. I think we've played like, I want to say 3 or 4 sessions. I think I said 6 and that was wrong. It's like more like 3 or 4 sessions, but like we played them like multiple times in a single night. But like I would highly recommend this game. It keeps on giving.
It's more betrayal. How can you go wrong?
Yeah.
With more betrayal.
And the guy who wrote this game did all the other legacy games, because it's just a single guy. That's what everyone goes to this guy for all the legacy games. That's just his job.
He's in a dust corner somewhere. Yeah. You know, just hanging out.
That's all he does.
And they just be like, here, make a legacy version. He's like, yes, master. Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot of really cool concepts in the game and what you do. And I really do like how they changed the rules. Because it almost feels like the guy who wrote this was just like, betrayal's good, but there's some rules that could be better.
Or more thought out.
Yeah, yeah. So like I really like that. I like how it changed, and it just feels much better, much more comfortable for us who've played Betrayal before. It wasn't hard to jump right into it, knowing how to play the game and the stuff that they changed. Everything about it is great. I really would recommend picking it up and just grabbing for, you know, 3 or more people to play it, or more, 3 or 4 more people. And you can always switch
people out. What's the max player?
5, I believe.
5?
I believe it's 5. I think there's only 5. I think there's 6. There's 6 player pieces, but only 5 can play.
People can play. Which makes sense.
Yeah. But it's just so good. Get it.
So definitely go get a Betrayal Legacy. So I've been, while I was sick, I had a lot of time on my Switch because I couldn't sit up. So I got Stardew Valley.
Nice.
The Switch version. I've played the PC for a bit, but I kind of blew through the Switch version because I had so much free time on my hands. And it's a lot of fun. I forgot how much fun Stardew Valley is.
And you get all like the new updates. So I'm sure since the last time you played, there's a ton of new updates.
Yeah, there's a lot of new stuff. But like, I knew enough of the game that I could just kind of breeze through what I was doing. And like, especially for the festivals that came up and stuff, I knew what to keep and what to do and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. It's Stardew Valley. You can't really go wrong with it.
I love.
And being on the Switch, it was just great to like pick up wherever and be like, all right, I just want to farm a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll put it down for now. And like, nothing's changed and it's great.
It's definitely a good game for that. And, you know, like I said, the fact that the game is like so many years old and there's still like updates coming out for it is really awesome.
I'm surprised they haven't announced a second one yet.
Yeah, I guess because they're just. Yeah. There is something else,
announcing
I think.
Announcing for things.
There's a board game coming out.
Is there for Stardew Valley?
Yeah, I forgot. I definitely want to get it. I think I'm waiting for either the Kickstarter to start. I can't remember what exactly, but it looks really good.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend. I think it's full price, but full price is like super cheap.
Yeah, it's like still like $15.
Yeah, it's super cheap. It's worth it. It's definitely a game you can like pick up, you know, play a little bit and then put back down. It's kind of kind of perfect for the Switch. So
yeah,
I would definitely go check that out. I also saw a movie before I started dying. I saw Black Widow.
In theaters?
In theaters.
Wow.
Because I had a friend who rented out a theater and was like, hey, you want to come? I was like, sure, why not?
Isn't it nice?
In theaters. It was weird to be in a theater again. I mean, I haven't been in one since, when's the last time I was in one? Power Rangers?
Rangers, yeah.
Was it? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I don't go to the movies often.
Yeah. And you came with us to go see Power Rangers, unless there's something in between, but I don't think there was.
Maybe? I don't remember. So Black Widow, it takes place in the middle of Civil War, more or less, like while everyone splits up and kind of hides.
Mm-hmm.
That's when this takes place, and it was actually really good. I enjoyed it immensely because I thought it was just going to be like a spy thriller kind of thing, and I was like, all right, this is just going to be like stereotypical, but there was a lot of comedy in there that I enjoyed immensely.
That's awesome.
Like Red Guardian is like the best part of that fucking movie. And the plot's really good, and it leads into, you know, the shows as well at the end of it. So
that's pretty awesome.
I won't spoil anything, but it does lead into the shows. And it's just it's really good. I was shocked that it was so good. I would definitely go check it out if you haven't. In the theater was a lot of fun because the visuals are really good too. There's a lot of special effects that are really decent, and it's getting good reviews.
Yeah.
The box office was okay the first week, and then because Disney Plus added it, it kind of fucking nosedived, and theaters are pissed about that. So,
but I mean,
it's the new wave of doing things.
If people are willing to stay at home and spend $30 on this one movie, then movie theaters are doing something wrong. Like, obviously. But also, I mean, the big thing is, like, I don't want to get into a big discussion about like going to the movies, but like, you know, like if it was just my wife and I going to the movies, like, yeah, I would rather go there than spend $30 at home. But like if my kids were older, that might have been much more different, because then you're looking at, like, you know, you're spending like probably $80, $100, like in that one
night.
You're almost
hitting $100 to go at one night for a shitty popcorn, some soda, and a movie, which, and,
like,
you can make at home.
I have a projector, you know, I have like we can make it into a movie experience. So like that $30 does kind of make it worth it, but I still haven't paid it. I think as much as I want to see this movie, I don't know if I'm ready to currently spend $30 on it.
Yeah. I would enjoy it in the theater if you can. It was a lot of fun. I just was more blown away to the fact that it wasn't what they kind of touted, which was just an action movie. It was a lot more than that, and I'm pleasantly surprised, because I could give two shits about Black Widow. I wasn't a fan of the character. I just really don't care. Because it's just like a human character, so I was just like, meh.
Yeah.
You don't really got anything cool going on, but this made it a lot more fun, and it just made me care about the character and her family, so
good.
I'm excited for what they do next, which is going to be awesome. That's going to be probably one of the shows, probably Captain America and the Winter Soldier Part 2.
You mean Captain America and the White
season
Wolf?
Season 2. Yep. Even though they still call him Winter Soldier, it's fine.
Yeah, he'll be White Wolf now. You just wait until the next movie, whatever movie they'll end up in.
I mean, they're really going to put him in a white suit?
Yeah, so
that'd
like,
be weird.
I know we're not going to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but like my newborn, or I should say newborn, my 4-month-old was awake at 4:30, yodeling to everyone, and I decided my wife was like, singing the song of her people at 4:30 in the morning, and my wife couldn't take it anymore. So I stole the child away to the couch and said, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna watch Falcon and Winter Soldier, because I wasn't really that interested.
Have you not watched it yet?
I did watch it. I watched all six episodes in a single morning at 4:30 in the morning. So, I mean, it wasn't that much. So, like, I finished around like 9 or 10, whatever it was. But it was a show. It was definitely a show. I enjoyed it for what it was. But
in the rankings of the three shows, which we'll talk about one of them soon. We'll just move into it at this point.
Yeah, that's fine.
So in between the three shows, where do you rank?
It's definitely
Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, Captain Falcon.
Really?
It's definitely the bottom.
Dom saw the same thing. He wasn't really, but I enjoyed it. I think it was better than WandaVision.
Really?
For me.
But why?
At least. Because I just like I felt like they evolved as characters.
Yeah.
Where Wanda just stayed the same person throughout.
Okay.
Like, she just went crazier. That was it. Like, she had no evolution to, like, she just got more powerful and more crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, that was it.
I can live with that. For me, WandaVision had a lot of, like...
Loki's the top, though.
Absolutely. I would. Yeah. After seeing the two shows, the thing for me was WandaVision was, like, there's a lot to it, like, that I appreciated outside of the characters, just, like, the way they filmed it, the way they set up each episode.
I mean, as a show, just as a show by itself, it's amazing how they were able to pull in all these tropes of, like, all these TV shows and all these, you know, decades and stuff like that, and to still be able to tell a story on their own besides all the tropes.
So, like, for me, like, with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it was just like it was too hard, I think, for me to pull myself away from the fact that, like, I'm not watching Captain America, and, like, to me, like, these are two supporting characters. Like, they're not, like, I don't want to, like, say, like, these aren't leading men, because they are. I've seen them in other stuff. They're good at that. But the characters themselves are, like, two supporting characters that weren't meant to, like, work off of each other. They're kind of like, you know, it's Falcon and Captain, and it's Bucky and Captain, and they were kind of like relationship that they were kind of playing with.
Well, that's why the reason for this show was to, like, blend them together and also evolve them as characters, which they did by the end of it.
Yeah.
I feel like they evolved as characters.
Yeah, I would say so. They definitely evolved and everything, but I don't know. It was just, I left that show. You know who my favorite character is after watching the entire show?
Who?
Zemo.
Zemo. Did you see all the memes of him dancing? I mean,
I fucking loved Zemo. I don't know why. Like, I got to the end of that. He could
get under the skin of the other characters, but be funny about it.
Yeah.
So, like, you never hated him.
He was just.
Even though he was a villain.
All right. So I'm going to spoil a little bit. I think the thing that I'm curious about, but also kind of made me weirdly mad, even though I don't really care, is what they did to Sharon. Like,
oh, that they made her
a bad guy?
Power broker.
Yeah. Power. Like, I'm like, what's the deal with that? Like, I'm just like, why is Sharon Carter a bad guy?
I think it's because she was kind of left on the wayside.
Yeah.
During the Civil War and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I'm going to get back at these people that fucked me over.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I don't know.
Because she had to stay in Madripoor in order to get away from it all.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of, and then she built up power and was like, yeah, this is my thing now.
Yeah.
She also wants to hold on to that power. So.
Yeah. But I think that also, I don't know why, but maybe it's just like with me and superhero movies and shows, like, I enjoyed the Netflix shows, but, like, there's something about, like, watching, which is funny because I'm a huge Batman fan. I'm about to say, like, there's something about watching, like, a show where it's, like, not, like, magical or, like, superpowers, really. And, like, I don't know, like, I have a hard time enjoying it as much. I think it's just, like, definitely a mental block for me.
I mean, they had powers in Captain Falcon, the Winter Soldier. There were super soldiers.
Yeah, there were super soldiers. Yeah, that is true. But, like, I don't know. There's a lot more about WandaVision, and I liked the characters a lot more.
I won't say anything about watching Kat Dennings. I mean, she's got some good stuff to watch.
Jesus, Thomas.
And the story is really fascinating. Good. I just don't feel like Wanda changed as a character.
Yeah.
Besides being more powerful and losing her mind.
Yeah. And I definitely think
that's why I'm like, where Captain Falcon, the Winter Soldier, they evolved. They changed over time to be the characters they need to be.
Yeah.
And but that's also why I liked it.
I feel like WandaVision was a setup for sure. 100% WandaVision was just a setup for something else. Most likely Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Which might have been why it had such limitations compared to.
Right. So that, others. Which I think that that is a big hindrance to it, because like you don't know, like there's something that's coming up next, but like we don't really know what that is. Whereas like Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier was like a complete, like it was a complete story. It was like an extension on something and it filled in some gaps, like kind of learning that while people were gone during the snap, that there was like this almost like that one world, liked. One nation. That was cool. I really liked that concept.
That and they showed what happened in between, you know, people being snapped and then people coming back and what happened to the world in large. I just think it told a better story for me, at least, where WandaVision was just like, it just affects them and not really anyone else until the very end.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
She breaks shit.
And then she breaks shit. And then there's Loki, which we all just watched.
So good.
I
watched that like the second it would release. I'd watch it. I was just like, this is so fucking good.
I was the same, and my Camille was just like not as into it. Like she just didn't care about Loki at all. And I was just like, no, this is going to be good. It's going to be like Doctor Who in the Marvel universe, but it's Loki and Tom Hiddleston. I was like, it's going to be great. And I watched like the first two episodes with her, like not really like in the room or paying attention. And then when the big reveal comes, spoilers, that there's a female variant of Loki, and we watched that episode. She was like, okay, I'm into this now. And I'm just like, you, how dare you?
Hot damn it.
But I absolutely loved this show.
And I feel like it's a must. It's a need to watch this, because it definitely leads into
absolutely
the movies, because of the multiverse kind of thing that happens.
And an introduction
for this show.
Of a character.
Yep. Introduction to characters. Introduction to one of the biggest characters probably for the next wave.
Yeah.
It was just really well thought out. It's a little slow in the beginning because they just have to kind of explain what's going on in this universe, you know, what the TVA is and, you know, how that's going to affect Loki and stuff like that, and who this variant is and stuff like that. But I would love a show just like him going around like fixing time. I mean, it's fucking Doctor Who at that point.
Yeah. But I mean, that's, I think that's like kind of what we're going to get. And that's my assumption, is that for, and again, spoilers if you haven't seen Loki, but the fact that the show ended with Kang, the Conqueror.
Yeah.
And,
well, it ended with,
Sylvie,
the one left, or what the fuck's is the name?
The one who, shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's technically two characters joined into one.
It is, yeah.
I mean, it's Kang the Conqueror, and then that Kang is actually not Kang the Conqueror. It's, and he gets offed, and then the actual Kang the Conqueror takes over.
Yeah. The fact that,
and then we have all the multiverse stuff, and
it
just sets up,
it does a lot,
all of the other stuff,
and there's a lot that could be set up from this, including Fantastic Four.
I mean, this was done for like the what ifs stuff too.
Oh yeah,
they can do all that stuff, and it's just another multiverse thing.
But also the fact that there is a variant of Kang who is a Richards.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't said it's Nathaniel Richards yet.
Yeah. But it's.
But I don't know.
They've
announced Fantastic Four, but we have no idea where it's going to be. Yeah. I mean, it's probably not even in. It's probably in casting right now. So who knows?
I love watching, like, all, or listening to all, like, the. Like, through WandaVision, listening to all the people's, like crazy theories and stuff. It was very obviously like it was obvious how difficult it was to like figure out what they were doing. But it seemed for Loki, it was much more obvious and a lot more people kind of guessed where it was going. But I don't think that has to do with like bad storytelling. I just think because of announcements, like people knew who was cast or maybe like why he was cast. I don't remember his name now, the guy who plays Kang.
It was great, by the way.
He was amazing.
He was awesome.
That scene at the end.
I can't wait to see him.
Yeah.
More.
In a completely different. Yeah. In a completely different, like Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah, almost a different personality.
Yeah,
more or less.
And then the whole question is, when does season two of Loki come out in between like the Immortals and Doctor Strange? Like, and I think there was something else.
Thor.
Oh yeah, Thor.
Thor in there somewhere. You have.
I think Thor is going to be pretty much on its own. I don't think it's going to deal with much of the multiverse.
Well, we don't know if it's. It could be not Jane Foster of this. The main universe.
That's
it could
true.
Be a multi-universal.
That
they
is
could
true.
Be bringing in the other Thors. Who knows?
Yeah, that is very true. But I am super
excited.
They
could bring in Throg again.
Throg. I loved the Loki variants.
Oh my god. Well, that blew up because the Loki alligator.
Loki alligator.
Kid Loki, old Loki.
Yeah, classic. First off, it's classic Loki.
Classic Loki.
Classic Loki.
They had President Loki.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a lot of nods to different storylines and comics, which is really cool to see. Like, they don't really hint hard on comic book versions.
Mm-hmm.
But they were able to get around that with all the multiversal stuff.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend Loki.
Yeah.
Even if you're not like a huge fan of his character, which I am, I mean, it's a perfect part. It's just a totally different side of him.
Yeah.
And he definitely evolves as a character as well.
Yeah. And the thing that I thought was interesting about this is that you're dealing with a Loki variant from the end of the first Avengers film, where he's still very much an asshole and a villain. And they very quickly got him to who he was at an Endgame when he died or was killed by Thanos. And then past that as well. So that was pretty
well
done.
He was able to see
his future,
what happened to him and what went on. And that kind of made him click.
Yeah.
And then also seeing the other Lokis, I think, really clicked home that, like, he's just self-destructive.
Right.
And he needs to move forward from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's able to trust Sylvie and go through all that stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really good show. If you're going to watch one of the three shows currently out, I would highly recommend Loki.
Yes.
All three are good in their own ways, but I would definitely recommend Loki. And they announced a second season of that as well. No news on when that's going to start, but we'll have to see. And then the next movie is Shang-Chi?
I think so, yeah.
And the Ten Rings, I think?
Yep.
Don't quote me on that one.
No, I believe you're right.
And then it's, I don't think it's any others this year.
No,
I think
it's
like
February.
One or two movies, that's it.
Yeah, February, I think, is the next
movie.
Yeah.
Marvel movie. Like, it's pretty much a dead zone until Shang-Chi, and then dead zone until next year.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
Where does Shang-Chi
I can't
release?
Remember which ones. I think it's...
September. Shang-Chi comes out in September.
Yeah. And then what's next? Is it Doctor Strange? I think everyone's kind of waiting for Doctor Strange now.
Yes.
Because that's the one that's really going to ramp up.
Eternals is in November.
Oh, right. Eternals is up next.
So we have Shang-Chi in September, Eternals in November, Spider-Man. Oh, shit. I did not know
Spider-Man was in December.
Oh, wow.
Right.
I forgot about that.
Because we had...
And then...
Yeah, so we got that.
And then Doctor Strange. And then Thor.
And all of these are probably going to relate to the multiversal split. At some point, probably as end credits. Also, spoiler for Black Widow and Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There's someone recruiting people for a team you've probably seen her in things, thing called Seinfeld.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And she's recruiting a team, and it's most likely the Thunderbolts, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they brought back what's his face from the Hulk movie.
Yes. Abomination.
Ross. No, I mean General Ross. They brought back as well.
Abomination is coming back too, though.
Abomination's coming back in Shang-Chi.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
He might be taking over the slot for Red Hulk, but we don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They do show General Ross from the original Hulk movie in Black Widow in the beginning.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And they show Ross off. So it's like, is this leading up to Thunderbolts?
Which is not his first time back. He was in Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I think they've been dropping this kind of lead for a little bit, especially with this team. So I think the Thunderbolts are going to be made. So we might be getting a Red Hulk too, or they just might replace it with Abomination. Yeah. Don't know, but that would be... Yeah. Something and that's definitely coming up soon.
One last thing. I'm also very curious about what they're doing with Kang, just because Kang was casted to be the major villain in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which doesn't come out until 2023. So you got
to
think.
So it's going to be, look how long it took to go from, the first time Thanos showed up
in
the movie to his actual movie. I think they're going to wait for that span so they can build a new team up.
Yeah.
And then do Kang. And they want to introduce all the multiversal stuff as well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for all this stuff, especially the shows have been fantastic. So I'm excited. I'm not a huge fan of Shang-Chi, but the Ten Rings is always cool just because that's what's his face? Fuck me, I can't remember his name. But a villain from Iron Man stuff. God. That was in the third movie.
Fin Fang Foom. No.
Started with an M. I can't remember.
Mandarin.
Mandarin. There you go. He was in the third movie, quote unquote.
Yeah.
quote unquote. But it'll be cool to see if they introduce him in the Shang-Chi movie. Yeah, he kind of was and really wasn't. And it pissed me off to know it. That's why I hate that movie. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. But if you got time on your hands, definitely go check out the Marvel shows. And Black Widow, which was surprising.
Yes.
Moving on to some nerd news. CJ, let's start off with some stuff. What you got?
All right. So I am in the market for a Switch because I'm borrowing one. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll just buy one. And, you can't really buy them now. And here comes Nintendo with a brand new announcement for their new OLED Switch to come out in October. So, for all of you who wanted a Switch and want to pay $50 more for a bigger OLED screen, and that's about it, you're in luck.
Yeah, this came out to meh.
Yeah.
Like everyone was thinking, oh, we're going to get a more powerful Switch or a bigger one or something like that. But they really just came out with, we're going from 6.2 to 7 inches, which isn't huge.
Wow.
I mean, it can't get much bigger anyway. Yeah, right. It can't get much bigger anyway.
Is that what you tell them?
Yeah.
it can't get much bigger anyway.
It's a full 2 inches, baby. But 8 inches around.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And also, people were waiting for the 1080, like a 1080p version, which it does docked, but I mean, the thing is, Nintendo doesn't really come out with more powerful versions afterwards. They usually come out with their console and then come out with a kind of slimmed down version.
Yeah.
Of like they did with the Lite.
Right.
Usually that's it.
And they don't care about third party support, you know?
Yeah. They're not shooting for ultimate graphics either. That's not what a Switch is. Switch does. It's made to play their games really well.
I've talked. No, good.
Yeah, I'm not like shocked. The other things on this thing is they added the kickstand is a full part of the back, which was probably the most excited I've ever been ever. Because the kickstand for the Switch is a flimsy piece of crap that is so hard to get out.
Yeah,
you definitely need like a coin or like a fucking screwdriver to get the fucking stand out. Now it's the whole back.
Normal people with normal fingernails don't
bullshit.
Have
I know people
with
normal fingernails that still can't get that shit out. It's atrocious. So they finally made it the whole back, so you can put the kickstand on, and it clicks into different positions, so it can
lay
in different positions. Yeah. Also, what they added was you can now do wired LAN.
Right.
Wired connection into the dock, which is huge.
Which I think is really cool, yeah.
Well, Nintendo's servers aren't great to begin with, and then add in a meh internet connection over Wi-Fi, and you're pretty much fucked for online stuff. So putting in a LAN is going to be great. It's a little bit heavier, and the storage is goes from 32 gigabytes to 64.
Yeah.
Which is a nice kind of bump up. I bought a 256 memory card for mine, so I really don't give a shit, but...
Yeah, and that's the nice thing is that it's really easy to extend it. So,
yeah.
I think for me, when it comes to purchasing a new Switch, I probably won't be buying this. I still don't know what I'm going to do. And that has a lot to do with something else we're going to talk about.
Oh, that's true.
At a very similar price point, if you want to.
Yeah. For $50 is pretty much what you're upgrading is an OLED screen.
Yeah.
Is that worth it? And that depends on the person, I guess.
Battery life, I think?
No, battery life's the same, 4.5 to 9 hours. It's pretty much what you're getting is a higher internal storage, a bigger display, the kickstand, and the wired LAN. Yeah, and the sweet white dock. And the LAN connection. And that's... Is if that's worth $50 for you, sure. They might have also upgraded some of the joysticks because of the drift, the known Joy-Con drift.
I think for
me, those might be upgraded a little bit too.
I know that a lot of these consoles sell at a loss to begin with, but I think for me, I would have been more apt to purchase this if it came out at the same price point as the Switch and they lowered the current Switch to like 280, 275, but I know.
Yeah, usually it's a 50, 30 to 50 dollar cut.
So the fact that they didn't do that and the Switch is still selling at 300 just continues to push me further and further away from Nintendo as a lot of glass is shattered for me when it comes to Nintendo as a company and a conglomerate and just like how little they care about their fans and they don't really listen to people. And I don't know.
I play the Switch whenever I'm like sitting down and don't feel like sitting at my computer. So like for me, the Switch is just completely different than all the other consoles. So I don't even put it in the same league as people like to put this and something else we're going to talk about together for no apparent reason.
Yeah. I agree.
But I don't see a $50 increase here for me, at least. I'm definitely not going to buy another one.
Yeah.
I have no need. We know one of our listeners is going to buy one immediately as a first buy.
That just means they'll have a used one to sell.
Yeah, right. I don't see the bigger screen. I'm fine with the screen it's got now.
Unless you got the disposable income and you don't want to fight to try and find a Switch, which I think you can find them a little bit more easily now.
Yeah, you can find them a little bit easier now. And this comes available October 8th.
There you go.
So soon. So you might be able to find the original Switch a lot easier once October runs around. And they'll probably do deals during the winter time and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're looking for a Switch, you'll most likely be able to find the standard one a lot easier sooner, the OLED one, but it's really, if you're complaining about the screen, maybe go pick up the OLED one, but I'm not sold on it.
Yeah.
Speaking of portable gaming systems, Valve dropped a fucking bomb.
Yes.
Valve dropped the Steam Deck. Steam very close deck. To Stream Deck, which is something Elgato makes. And if you misspell in Google, you get widely different things. So the Steam Deck is going to be their portable console, running a new version of the Steam OS, which is a Linux-based operating system. It looks like a really chunky Switch, and I think that's why people are comparing them.
But you can't.
I don't think they're in the same...
It's not.
They're not in the same genre. It's like comparing like fucking apples and oranges. Yeah. Completely different things here. They might be fruit, but...
It's a handheld gaming computer. Like, you can't... I don't know.
Yeah. It's got the two joysticks on the side, non-removable. So it's not the Switch. You can't remove them and use motion controls and stuff. Eight XYBA buttons. It also has pads for mouse control. And then start and stop, but you can pretty much play a lot of the games that you have on your PC on this mobile platform, which is the big thing. It's
right.
You're able to play the stuff you want from your Steam library on this little mobile platform. Let's see what is specs we got, for price ranges, which I don't know if you're downloading these games or you are streaming them. I think you're downloading them. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm pretty sure you're downloading them.
Yeah. So that's where it gets me a little pissed, is at $399, which is only $50 more than the standard Switch, you're getting a 64 gigabyte version, which right. If you know games now,
that's
half
a game.
Your games won't fucking, yeah, like any other game, like half your games won't fucking load onto this thing because it's not big enough to hold games.
Right.
And then at $529 is a 256 gigabyte. So you got 2-3 games there. And then at $649, you have a 512 gigabyte version.
Right.
Which is a decent size, but at $50 more for the Switch, from the Switch, you get a 64 gigabyte version, which I don't feel like is, it's like the lowest gigabyte version of an iPhone. Like, it's like, why bother? Because you're not going to be able to do anything with this fucking thing. But you can... there is a 4-core, 8-thread processor with 2.4 to 3.5 gigahertz. The GPU clock speed is going to be 1.6. Storage, RAM is 16 gigabytes. Resolution is 1280 by 800. 7-inch screen, so matching the OLED Switch screen.
Mm-hmm.
60 hertz refresh rates. And it also have Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, you know, you name it. It's got it.
Yeah.
USB-C, Bluetooth, which is
nice.
Going to be awesome, but yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to jump on this in the first get-go because right now they're taking pre-orders at $5. You can do on Steam right now.
I am so proud of them, though, that when they originally announced this, that you could come and pre-order, that first you have to spend money. You have to put down a deposit for that pre-order, which I think is a good idea because that's already a pretty good deterrent from a lot of people trying to scalp these, but also the only way to have purchased this is to have had an account older than, I think, June. Like you had to have logged in.
So new accounts can't just pick these up constantly.
Yeah. So you would have had to have created an account like a month or two before this was announced.
Also, a big thing is it is, I think it's 720p as well. I don't think it's 1080p.
Yeah.
So, again, we're not getting a 1080p machine. Also, there is no dock, and it will be sold separately. So,
well,
this
there
thing just
is
plugs
a dock.
In.
It just will
there
be sold.
There is a dock. It will just be sold separately. There's no pictures of the dock yet. And they say it's most likely going to be sold after this thing starts selling.
But the real question is, like, I wonder how easy you could just, like... plug a USB to HDMI, and like I wonder if there's a way to do it anyway to your computer without the dock. It seems like it should be.
Oh yeah, no, there's I think there's an HDMI
on the actual device.
There is. I see Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, USB-C with DisplayPort.
Okay.
1.4 support, so it'll be DisplayPort because a lot of people are going away from yeah. HDMI actually. So yeah, that's not shocking. That's DisplayPort. So this is fucking huge news. A lot of people comparing the Switch, which I don't think it deserves in the slightest.
Yeah.
Also people saying that you'll most likely be able to like download Windows, most likely. And
yes.
Get other stores on here as well, like Epic Store and all those.
Yes.
Xbox Game Pass, maybe. Because it's just going to be a Linux-based machine, more or less. Yeah. So unless they lock something down somehow, people are just going to overwrite the Steam OS with whatever the fuck they want.
Like I said, it's a handheld gaming machine, and it's basically going to be hacked to be a handheld gaming PC. And that's it.
The fulfillment date is looking to be
Q2?
Somewhere in 2022.
It was Q3, but I think they pushed it forward to Q2 2022.
Yeah. The first Steam Decks reserved will ship in December, but the expected fulfillment date has been pushed to 2022 as reservations kind of stacked up. They were like, oh, shit, we got to fucking send these things out. So
yeah,
most likely you won't even look at it until next year, at least mid-next year.
Yeah, I'm definitely tempted.
It's crazy. I'm not going to get the first one out of the gate because getting the first version of anything is not usually the best one.
Yeah.
Also, the price point and the size makes me nervous. I'm not sold yet on it. I know people are really sold on it, and it's a cool idea. I'm hesitant on it at this point. So, but if you want to go check it out, if you have a Steam account that's been around for a little bit, you can reserve one for $5 on Steam, and you can play a lot of fucking games.
Yeah.
The first picture I see here is Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
On the article I found. I was like, well, sold. So next up we got CJ, you got more news?
Yeah, sure.
More stuff in here?
For those of you who don't know, I put on here to talk about Virgin Galactic and their first successful launch to space. But since we made this doc and, you know, TJ was died and everything, not only has
Dad came back, Jesus, it's fine.
Not only has Richard Branson gone into space, but in that time, so has Jeff Bezos. So, the great space,
at the happiness of all of his workers,
all of his workers. Yeah. What a great speech he gave. Also a lot of people are ragging on, the current youngest person to go into space was this dude, Oliver something. He was 18 years old and was talking about how cool the experience was and just like what it's like to be the first, like the youngest person to go into space so far. And it's like, I think his dad spent like $28 million to get him on the spaceship.
Jesus
or something like that.
Christ.
Yeah. So it's like,
that's like the fucking like top branch of like, do you know who my dad is?
Yeah. Yeah. My dad got me into space with Jeff Bezos. I was on a rocket ship with Jeff Bezos. But I mean, yeah, that's pretty much the thing about it is a lot of people are very angry about this just because it's a bunch of rich dudes with all of their money that they acquired off the backs of, abusing workers, and they're using it to get themselves into space. But there's the other part of me. There's part of me that agrees with that 100%, that like the money that they're stealing from these people is just is terrible.
Astronomical.
Yeah. But there's the other part of me that's like, but this is the free market actually working for space exploration. And yeah,
it's a jump for space exploration. It's a backward step for the people.
Yeah. It's just like,
but, and my soul.
Yeah. There's just so much me. It's like, but NASA's going to get so much good stuff out of this. And there's going to be so like, we're going to get bases on the moon soon. And people are going to be able to visit the moon. And like, not probably like 30
colonies in space. And they're going to build robots.
Gonna
and
get Gundams. This is going to be great.
And then 15 year olds are going to pilot it. And for some odd reason.
But then there's the other side of me. It's just like, you know, but how Jeffrey Bezos made his money and everything, but
driving people into the ground.
Yeah,
it's cool that not just NASA is pulling this shit off.
Yeah,
now that people have enough money to do this, but it's just really shitty at how this money's made.
Yeah, yeah. But
and I'm waiting for what's his face from Tesla.
Oh yeah, Musk is
Yeah, and the thing is, like, Musk.
The thing is, Musk has been building rockets and putting him to space for God knows how long. Yeah. It's just human flight.
He's waiting for him to ship himself off to one.
But like, I don't think he has to at this point. Like, I don't think he has
any really give a shit.
Like the thing with
Bezos,
I don't
think he's trying to compete with the other two.
There's a small portion of me that is like, if I cared about space and being an astronaut as much as Jeff Bezos did, then like, yeah, I'm really happy for the dude. I'm glad he got to spend all of this money on this really cool hobby. But it, again, it's how he got that
money that
bothers me. And it's
you're
just like
embroiled in problems right now for warehouse issues.
Yeah.
And what you do is take your enormous amount of wealth and throw it at space.
Yeah. But he's also.
I love the fucking thing that was going out that like 180 signatures to keep Bezos in space.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like, yeah, that's funny. I'll take it.
So good. But I'm excited to see what comes out of this and the new space race that we're in. But I'm also incredibly frustrated with the
people that are doing it.
The people that are doing it.
So. There's some more news. We're going to have a long episode this episode because
we've
been gone for a few weeks, so I was busy dying. So there's a lot of shit happened while we were gone.
Yeah,
so
it did.
I saw the Steam Deck come out. I was like, oh, we have to talk about it, but I'm dying. So speaking of companies embroiled in lawsuits, Activision Blizzard is in a lawsuit. Shocker.
By the state of California.
With the state of California, this time for toxic discrimination and work environment. Pretty much what's been said and investigated is that internally, Blizzard has been a nightmare for females and people of color. Pretty much. They're being paid less for equal work. They're getting placed in lower positions. And then just the toxic community within Activision has been a nightmare. A lot of sexual harassment. There's one story that I'd seen that was they made an area for women to breastfeed and dudes would just come in and like stare.
Wow.
And like make sexual comments and shit like that while they're breastfeeding a child. And it's like, how the fuck? And then also recently they had a trip internally and one of the females I think killed herself.
After she committed suicide.
Being harassed by one of her male colleagues.
They went on a trip and I believe it was her boss basically showed up to the hotel with a ton of sex toys.
Yeah. And was like, and she probably just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And it seems like this is throughout the company. Jokes about openly talking about sexual encounters, female bodies, jokes about rape.
The cubicle hopping, where did you read about that? Where they would get,
I don't think so.
So a bunch of them would get drunk and they would go from cubicle to cubicle. They'd get drunk at work and go from cubicle to cubicle, basically just harassing women after they get drunk.
Yep.
So
they would also come to work hungover. They would play video games while making the female coworkers do all the work while still getting underpaid. And it finally boiled to a head where they are now being sued by the state of California. And this is also, as of right now, there was about 2,000 signatures from about 20% of the employees currently of a letter kind of saying, yes, this is all correct. This happens constantly in our workplace and we're not going to take it anymore kind of thing.
Yeah, good.
And also the president of Activision Blizzard coming out and saying, well, you know, we failed you as a company and he's trying to play damage control. So right now the California Department of Fair Housing and Employment is fighting Activision Blizzard for this horrendous nightmare of a situation. We thought Riot was bad, but this is
awful.
It's in just a top tiered company.
I feel like it's just continuing to shed light on these AAA gaming companies and just how awful it is to be a developer and to be a woman in this this community,
pretty much not a white
or
male.
A person of color. Anybody that is not
color
a white
as well. It just seems nightmarish to work in these places and to finally get a whole state involved.
Look,
be like, yeah, you're doing bullshit.
You listen to us, two white dudes. What we need to tell now.
Even we think this is horrendous.
it's
and we're terrible, terrible people.
It's just horrible.
It's insane that this kind of workplace exists still. In 2021,
but also like these work environments are terrible to begin with anyway. Like all these gaming communities, you know that these people are putting in like 60 hours of work a week, extremely stressful deadlines and stuff. And on top of that, now like they're, you know, you or your coworker are getting harassed because you're either a woman or you're a person of color, like, and you're just not treated right. You're not paid well. It's just, it's really going to show that they need unions. Software developers need unions in the worst way.
Yes.
Especially
just the tech industry in general needs unions, because this shit doesn't happen with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's just not something needs to happen.
And we need representation of some kind.
Yeah.
And it's just horrendous that this day and age that this thing happens. Mm. And it's not just this company. We've talked about Riot before multiple times of this kind of shit. This is just one of the biggest gaming companies around pulling this kind of shit off. So hopefully California hits them hard and they make reforms, get rid of the people that do this kind of shit, and people can start working comfortably again.
Yeah, I'm sure California will come out and say that harassment gives people cancer, because that's usually their answer to everything.
Yeah,
so
that's true. But just slap that sticker on there. Good to go. Hopefully it's a fine of, you know, decent amounts, or people start, you know, seeing jail time as well. Because usually this behavior trickles down from the top.
Yeah.
Unlike economics, it does trickle down from the top.
Unlike the money.
So hopefully things get changed and people don't have to deal with this. And hopefully crunch time is also addressed as well, because that's a big issue. That's something Rockstar recently came out with, was there's a leak of that GTA 6 isn't being released until 2025. And the reason is because they want to avoid crunch.
Yeah.
So they're trying to space it out more. I think they're just spacing it out so they can make more money off of GTA 5, but I'll still take it if people don't have to crunch, even though they're going to crunch anyway, because they just feel like throwing stuff in the last minute. At least a company is starting to take notice that crunching is just going to negatively affect you. With Cyberpunk and Red Project, crunch fucked them.
Yes, it did.
And I think companies finally saw it hit their wallet. So that's what happened. So, are we done with the news?
I have one last thing that came up.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I do. So this kind of like came out of left field for me, but I was told about it, so I had to look it up. And I'll talk about it quickly, but apparently there was a leak that came out of Netflix that basically showed a, I think it was like an image of
a penis,
like Netflix and a person with a PlayStation controller.
All right. The leak of like,
yeah. So the idea here is that there's a strong possibility that PlayStation and Sony are teaming up with Netflix,
to do streaming
user service to get into gaming, to stream gaming, which makes perfect sense. And I even, yeah. I, you know,
Netflix
like,
has the bandwidth.
They have the infrastructure. The ability, yeah.
And PlayStation has the games. So why not combine them together and get something that could rival the Xbox Game Pass? Because right now the PlayStation one blows dick compared to the Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
But if they mixed it up, if you could get PlayStation and Netflix together.
Yes.
In one bundle for like the same, almost same price, you'd be fucking golden at that point.
So I'm really curious to see like what's actually going to happen here. And I'm really curious about price points, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd be curious because if they keep the same, it'll fucking sell like fucking hotcakes.
And Netflix has
and
been
even
slowly...
if they go up like $5,
yeah,
it wouldn't be too bad.
No, it really wouldn't.
If it was like $30 a month extra, like I'd be like, fuck you, go eat a dick. But I mean, Xbox does it for fucking pennies.
It does, yeah.
At this point. And they make a ton of money off that shit. So I could see them putting those two together and just making bank. Yeah.
But also with the
at
fact
that... At
that
point, Xbox has to get with Hulu because they're both green, so...
Yeah. But then you're teaming
that's
up
how with... that works, right? You just get things that are the same color.
Uh-huh. But then you're just teaming up with Disney, so...
that's true.
But I mean, I think this is definitely the right move for Sony as like Xbox get, you know, as Microsoft has its own, you know, they have Azure, they have their own infrastructure. They could do everything their way. And Google is just doing whatever Google wants. And the same thing with Amazon. They have AWS. They can do whatever they want. PlayStation, Sony doesn't have that. And they, you know, made the right decision that if this is what they're going to do with Netflix is the right way to go. So.
It's genius. If they can pull this off, it's genius. And we're at the right price point. It'd be genius.
And hopefully
Netflix and PlayStation will fucking go through the roof.
And hopefully PlayStation Now gets much better.
Yeah, it does. If it rivals, if they can make it so it rivals Xbox Game Pass, it's going to be a hard not to have both at that point. But hopefully that'll become true soon. So let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash. We'll be right back. And we're back. Finally, news done. We're over.
We did
it's
it.
It's good. Geek on, geek off. I got some things that happened while we were away. So as every year happens, we have Warframe talks for TennoCon, which is their yearly convention. Usually in their own like
TennoCon. I thought this was TennoCon. TennoCon.
No, that's a completely different thing. I was not sitting outside while burning to death
I see.
And not seeing anything. No, TennoCon, which is their big hubbub every year. Usually they have it in person, but they didn't do it this year and didn't do it last year because of all the COVID stuff. And they show off usually they show off like behind the scenes of how the game gets made and, you know, how music gets made, graphics get made and stuff like that. But they also show off news of what's coming up soon. The next big quest is the New War, which they showed off gameplay of, which you play as three people that aren't Warframes. They're the Grineer, which is an enemy faction.
Okay.
You play as one of the Corpus, which is an enemy faction, and you play as what the fuck's his name? Teshin, which is like he's on your side. And you get to play as them in a storyline, and then it just keeps going and going. And they showed off a lot of it, and it looks so good. And it's supposed to change up like everything. Pretty much, it's pretty much the end of like a three-part storyline. So I'm hoping for really big things. Also, the big thing they showed in development was cross-save and cross-play, finally. Currently, Warframe is not cross-play, but they are in the works of doing cross-play and cross-save, which is fucking huge. It's just especially
for someone like you that owns Warframe across multiple
platforms on thousands of hours of gaming.
How's that gonna work? Like, I feel like
I have no idea. I had to see, there was a lot of questions on if there was going to be like a another account like mashing, which they've done before.
Yeah,
when they first introduced consoles, you were able to transfer your account to something else. But they haven't said anything yet. It's currently in development. There is also going to be a mobile version as well.
That you have will a phone, also, don't you?
Yeah, you have a phone, don't you? Which will also be part of the cross save and cross play as well. So,
oh, wow.
Recently, the PC's always been ahead of the consoles in releases for things because they don't need to go through certifications or anything like that. But this will be pretty much all the patches will go at the same time so that everyone's together, and then they can do the cross saving cross platform kind of stuff, and then mobile as well, which is nuts. I'm not a fucking fan of this on mobile. I played it on the Switch and it's fucking terrible. And I couldn't imagine on a fucking phone why either. I have no idea, but I guess with cross save and cross play, you can kind of play on the go, I guess. Not a game that you can really pick up and go either. Like, you can't just like pause it. It's an online game, so I don't know why, but it's a cool thing that they added. They also showed off the next Prime Warframe, which is the next like special edition Warframe, which is Nidus, which is like their infested gross one, which looks awesome. I can't fucking wait. And they showed off
gross.
Yeah, they just showed off a bunch of stuff. I'm excited for all this stuff, especially the cross save and cross play. That's awesome. Especially since, you know, it gets more players. I think that's the thing. They want to kind of get their player bases together so they can all play together, which would be great because, you know, there's sometimes you want to play a mission, but it's been out for so long that no one's playing it anymore.
Oh, okay.
But now if you join in the consoles and mobile and PC, there'll be enough people to play those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really cool. And to be able to see the preview of the next quest is awesome. So I'm excited for the future of Warframe, as always. I will keep playing, which I've been doing lately. So if you want to check out those announcements, you can head over to the website and go check out Gander. I would definitely look at the gameplay trailer for the new war to see them playing as the other factions, which are really cool. Other thing on Geek On Geek Off, D&D Live happened at the same fucking time.
Okay,
had to switch back and forth between fucking TennoCon and D&D Live. It fucking sucked. Plan your shit better. God damn it.
With other people.
So D&D Live happened. This is Dungeons & Dragons yearly announcement thing. They also have different tables of usually celebrities or comedians play different games. It was fun to watch. I watched the WWE one that they've been doing lately. They have WWE stars come on who are, a lot of them are nerdy now, so they play D&D and stuff like that. But they also made announcements, which are awesome. They announced all the release dates for the next few books. The next one is The Wild Beyond the Witchlight, which is a Feywild adventure.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. They previewed it in one of the games, which I'm excited for, because the Feywild is just like a very kooky version of the standard world. And that comes out September 21st. The next one, which they announced on D&D Live, was Fizbin's Treasury of Dragons.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to introduce, pretty much supposed to be the Dragonomicon from 3.5. And it's supposed to just introduce all the dragon shit that we don't have in 5e. Because there's a lot of, the first campaign in D&D 5e is a dragon one. But you don't get a lot of backstory on what these dragons are, where they came from, what they do, who they are, kind of thing. So this is supposed to kind of fill in that gap. So this is just going to be an informational book. The one beforehand is an adventure book this one is more informational. They usually do. They go back and forth. So it'll have more player classes, all that stuff. And then after that, which I'm really excited for, is the, and that one will come out October 19th, Fizban's Treasury of Dragons. And then November 16th, so September, October, November,
yeah,
which seems nuts for D&D game books. November 16th is Strixhaven, A Curriculum of Chaos.
Pumped for this.
I am pumped. So this is apparently a crossover with Magic Gathering. I have no idea. But this is apparently supposed to take place in a university that is combined of multiverses, like where all the multiverses meet, this university takes place. And it's pretty much supposed to be like Hogwarts for adults, more or less.
But the big thing about it is that like they've been playtesting this like crazy, and there's a whole... there's a bunch of stuff around that they ripped out. Like, I think it was something like the... Shit, I'm not gonna be able to remember it now. The races, or not the, like the something about them being specific to, I'm just floundering right now. I can't get it. But anyway, the thing about that I'm excited about this book is that, it was one of those things where it kind of shows how good Wizards of the Coast is with this content, where they wrote this entire book, had all this stuff, all this content, and they've been playtesting it, and they gave it to all of their like D&D Next people for playtesting, and they basically came back and said, this is awful, like, this doesn't work right, we don't like it, and they're like, okay, sure, and went back and rewrote it.
Rewrote the whole thing.
You know, and great.
Wizards is able to finally take criticism on things. Especially D&D. And a lot of the people that write for Wizards of the Coast now are pretty good at, you know, also good at just being in facing with their clientele their fans. Because, you know, you have Chris Perkins and all those guys. There's a lot of women, too, as well, that work on these books that are very spoken on Twitch and Twitter and stuff like that. So I'm really excited for this book. This is apparently supposed to be a multi-year campaign. You're pretty much supposed to go the years of Hogwarts, more or less.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to take you from levels 1 to 10. And there's new race introduced, the Owlin, which are apparently the owl folk.
Yeah.
Which are pretty cool.
I guess,
New player options.
Seems weird. Like, you have the Aarakocra, and they're like...
Yeah, the there's Owlin. Owls, like... All right.
I guess so many people were like, we just made the Aarakocra like an owl, but I guess there's enough of a difference between Aarakocra and Owlin that it'll be good enough. They're also adding a lot of feats and backgrounds. We've seen a few things here and there on the Unearthed Arcana, but it's mostly been dragon stuff lately because of the Fizban stuff. They kind of show off in Unearthed Arcana stuff that hasn't been even shown yet. So, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this book. I would definitely run a campaign with this book, because it just sounds like, all right, we're running a campaign, but you cannot play a martial class. You have to play a spellcaster class.
Yeah.
And just to see how balanced that is as well.
Yeah.
As a game. Because without someone taking brunts of hits, how does that work? So I'm really excited for this one, Strixhaven, Curriculum, the Chaos. I mean, I'm excited for all three.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially and you didn't mention also the Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft.
Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft is already out.
I thought that comes out in like November or something.
May, bitch. What? Came out last month. I got it sitting on my shelf, bitch.
Oh, yeah, right there. May, you're right. Never mind. Yep. I'm sorry. I take it back.
So September 21st is The Wild Beyond the Witchlight, which is the Feywild.
You know what? I say that.
October.
I own it. I just bought it.
You dumbass.
I'm being stupid. I'm sorry.
Which is, again, a great book, because if you want to make like a dark horror campaign, this is the book to go to, because it's like, all right, how do you set up your world? You can pick from these things, set it up. All right. How do you make a overall villain? Pick from these subjects, go for it. And it's like a DM's guide that's way better. Because DM's guide is kind of just like random bits of information put together.
It's for
this
more
seems like
data driven people, where they're like, you know, you want to get into the intricacies of the world and Whereas yeah. this is more
you
of
want
like,
a table for this.
Yeah.
But Van Richten's feels like it's how to make a campaign in the setting, the guide, which is really awesome. So The Wild Beyond the Witchlight is September 21st. Fizbin's Treasury of Dragons is October 19th. And Strixhaven Curriculum of Chaos is November 16th. So I have a lot of pre-orders to put in. Also, they all come with
covers.
Alternate covers, which the Fizbin's Treasury of Dragons looks amazing.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
The Wild Beyond the Witchlight one looks awesome, too. It's like this white book with like a displacer beast on it and stuff like that. And then I forgot what the curriculum one looks like. Did they show off a... Yes, that one looks also awesome. So all three of them look fantastic. So I cannot wait. I really want the Strixhaven book, and I'm sad that I have to wait until November for that one.
Yeah.
But I'm not sad that there are three books in the next few months that I have to buy. I had to spend lots of money. So if you haven't gotten the D&D, what the fuck are you waiting for? It is time to get into D&D. Also, if you're looking for a DM or a player, hit me up, because I'm always looking to play or DM or something. So unless you got anything else, CJ?
No, I'm done. Let's finish this.
I think that is the 2-week recap of all the craziness that's happened.
We did it.
That's all for us this 2 weeks. Thank you for listening. To find our social media links, previous episodes, or leave us a voice message, please visit us at genfailcast.com. If you like what you've heard, please follow us on Spotify or leave a review on iTunes. Everybody say bye.
It's just me. Bye.
Bye.
I'm everybody.